Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. The message for today was recorded on Sunday, April 9th, 2017. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson. Well, let's put ourselves in the shoes of two of Jesus' disciples. Let's call them James and John. Let me tell you about your experience, James and John. In the years that you've followed Jesus, you've been amazed by Jesus' compassion. He would see people that society considered untouchable, you know, people with leprosy, and he would touch them and they'd be healed. You saw people marvel at the authority that Jesus displayed when he healed a centurion's servant at a distance. All Jesus had to do was say the word. Men, women, young, old, deaf, blind, even dead, you saw them all get healed by Jesus. And it was amazing. Even just a few moments ago, as Jesus was nearing Jerusalem, he healed two blind men, and they followed him. So even apart from the healings, you witnessed many other amazing things. Jesus told the storm, be quiet, and it did. And Jesus fed 5,000 people from five loaves of bread and two fish. It's like you've been witnessing a war that Jesus has been waging on sickness and poverty and chaos, but the weapons of war haven't been swords and chariots. They've been prayer and miracles. And you have this sense as you get close to Jerusalem that something big is about to happen. This is the city where the long-awaited Messiah comes to claim his kingdom. It's the historic city of David. And so you gather on the Mount of Olives, and you remember the prophecy from Zechariah that says, this will be the site of a great battle. And after that, the Lord will become king over all the earth, Zechariah says. And of course, you want to get some of that kingdom. Just a little while earlier, you, James and John, your mother actually, thanks, Mom, came to Jesus and said, trying to secure her sons a place of glory. She said to Jesus, declare that these two of mine will sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left when you come into your kingdom. As it turns out, the two disciples might not be James and John. But at some point earlier, all of the disciples were saying, which one of us the greatest? They were vying for positions of higher authority, wanting to be greater than one from another. And so here you are on the Mount of Olives, standing in the place where it's all going to go down, but not knowing how it's going to happen. And plus, anytime you're on a mountain, it's a big deal. There was that time, the Sermon on the Mount, that was kind of a big deal. That thing, the Transfiguration, where Jesus appeared in glory, also a big deal on the mountain. So what's going to happen? What's going to go on this time? And what part are you going to have in it? So Jesus starts handing out the assignments, and you feel it. Now is your moment. Now is the time that the glory of the kingdom of the Messiah will be yours. And you think to yourself, maybe I'll get to go cast some demons out in Jerusalem itself. Or maybe I'll be like Elijah and be able to call fire down from heaven to consume the enemies of God, these Romans who are occupying God's city. And then you hear Jesus call your name and your ears perk up. Here's your moment. What's it going to be? And lastly, Jesus says, James and John, you are on donkey duty. That's right. I need you to go into the town and look conspicuously like you're stealing a couple of animals. Donkey duty. Your pastor grew up with horses in his backyard, and so I can imagine at least what that work was like for these two disciples who I'm calling James and John. Alright, I confess, I managed to avoid most of the work because the horses were my sister's thing. But on occasion, I'd find myself mucking stalls, letting the horses out to pasture. So it doesn't take too much of an imagination, for me at least, to understand that donkey duty could be dirty business. I'm imagining that the donkey those disciples went to get, I don't know, let's just say that her name was something like Joy, just, I don't know. And even though the disciples thought that they were approaching the donkey and keeping a safe distance and, you know, not making any noise to scare the donkey Joy, maybe at that exact moment that donkey had a fly biter in the rear end and decided that she needed to actually kick that fly. And so one of the disciples would then end up with a hoof square in his chest, not seriously injuring him, but knocking the wind out of him quite soundly. I don't know, that completely hypothetical story that has no basis in the reality of my childhood at all might just lead us to believe that donkey duty could also be painful business. And so it feels so ironic that on this glorious Palm Sunday, where Jesus is hailed as the coming king by the crowds, these two disciples get donkey duty, a chore that has to be done, but it is certainly not the main event. Despite their aspirations for the greater glory, the disciples seem to be always doing this type of thing. They're collecting leftovers from Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000. They even make dinner reservations on Passover for the local upper room. And so you have to wonder if these disciples just said to themselves, is this seriously what we left our nets for? Donkey duty? Jesus said, "Follow me." And his disciples understood that that wouldn't just mean to go where Jesus goes, but to do what Jesus told them to do. And I'm just wondering, my brothers and sisters, do you ever feel like you've been put on donkey duty? It happens a lot in the church, doesn't it? Somehow you end up doing the things that other people don't want to do. It's like being put on donkey duty. It's the dirty work of the church. It's the endless peeling of potatoes, or the changing of light bulbs, or the cleaning of the facilities. It's visiting a shut-in when you're not entirely sure that that person remembers who you are. It's taking up a position in a committee that you would really rather not be on. It's, you know, all of the work that we do for Jesus is sacrificial. I mean, anything that we do, because we could be at home sitting on our comfy couch, you know, watching football and eating popcorn. But so all church work is sacrificial, but some work is donkey duty. You know, I learned this week when you buy palms for Palm Sunday, they don't come like this, that you have to strip them into individual leaves. And, you know, maybe it's not this way for everyone, but I can say that for me, that would be donkey duty. I'd probably end up with cuts all over the place. They'd look awful too if I did them. But someone in our church took that work on voluntarily. You know, I could go on, and I'll get in trouble real quick if I leave anything out, but you get the point. But I just want to say, here's the problem with doing that donkey duty work. It has to be done with the right heart. You know, two disciples went out to get these two animals, and maybe one of them was doing their donkey duty out of a sheer sense of duty. Yeah, I can imagine them maybe grumbling, "Well, I guess someone has to do it. I just really wish it weren't me. I don't know, maybe next time I'll just say no and go home and that'll show Jesus." It's that word duty. It's my duty to do this work. Some things are our duty as Christians, and I think Jesus is pretty clear about that when it comes especially to caring for the poor and the vulnerable, but just because it's our duty doesn't mean that that should be the motivation that sustains us. Duty is the thing that gets us to do the right thing when we don't want to. But that sense of duty alone, if it's not followed up with other motivations, it just leads to bitterness or to burnout. And so maybe the other disciple took a different attitude. Maybe he said, Jesus needs this donkey. As simple as that, you know, this might not be the main event, but I'm going to trust that Jesus is going to use it. In fact, isn't it amazing how this mundane, dirty, stinking, boring work can be used by Jesus? I'm on donkey duty, and I have a key role to play in the fulfilling of prophecy, in bringing glory to God, and in Jesus working out the redemption of the world. Donkey duty is nothing less than that. I detect that some of you have figured out the pun there that I wasn't going to go into, but you can. Donkey duty is dirty work. We'll leave it at that. Of course, we don't always get to see Jesus' mission advancing every time we're on donkey duty, do we? Sometimes we're still back mucking the stall when the action is taking place elsewhere. And at other times, our work actually seems to have nothing to do with God's plan whatsoever. You know, if you have a job, you might know what I'm talking about. That stuff that you really want to be doing is somewhere else. It's not in the day-to-day grind. And it doesn't, you know, that day-to-day grind doesn't seem to do any good except just fill in the pockets of the owner of the company or, you know, whatever the case may be. But here's the thing. What if you've been assigned to that donkey duty by Jesus at your job and you haven't realized it? I mean, of course, sometimes God calls us out of certain jobs because they make it impossible for us to not participate in evil. You know, we end up cheating customers or manipulating or deceiving people or we have to do things that we know to be wrong. But for the most part, unless you're trafficking people or drugs or weapons, you know, you're otherwise doing something to harm people, you can do your job to the glory of God. We can choose to have a positive influence on the people around us. And many of you I know this very well and certainly much better than I do, because that's the lives that you lead and that's the heart that you have for the way that you do your work. And so I just want to encourage you today that even if you can't see how God is going to use it, nothing that is done with a heart to honor and serve Jesus goes to waste. God sees your heart and God is pleased with you. There are duties other than donkey duty. And not all of us get donkey duty all the time. And so I wonder, you know, thinking about that last song we sang, where would you be on Palm Sunday? Into the city I'd follow, the children's band waving the branch of the palm tree high in my hand. Where would you be? If you weren't fetching the donkey, where would you be? Would you be the person saying, why are you taking that donkey? Or a member of the crowd laying your coat and your palm branches at the feet of Jesus? That's where I'd like to think I'd be. Or maybe you would have even been the person leading the procession and shouting, Hosanna, save us. We heard that in Psalm 118. Save us, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Or would you have been one of the people in the city asking the question, who is this? For much of my life, I probably would have been too timid for the procession. And I probably would have been too lazy for donkey duty. At best, I would have been three rows back on the side of the street, wanting to just take it all in, make a responsible assessment of who this supposed prophet is. And for some of us, that donkey duty is our comfort zone. The problem actually would have been if Jesus had told us to lead the procession. So the question that I have for us this morning is, will we do the work that Jesus tells us to do? Whether it's the thing that we're great at or the thing that is just everything in our being says, that is not me. Will we do it if Jesus tells us to do it? But whatever you have coming up this week, whether it's glamorous or dirty or public or private, I just want you to remember you can choose to offer it to God. Like we talked about with the offering, you can choose to lay that palm branch at Jesus' feet, marveling that you, even me, have been given the opportunity to participate in the very work of nothing less than the redemption of the world.